This is Kate from ConversationsWithKate.net, inviting you to improve your listening comprehension by listening to my conversations with guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to feel comfortable in English conversations for business, travel, or pleasure. By listening to real conversations between me and a native or non-native English speaker, you will improve your understanding of different English accents, connected speech, and you'll learn interesting things about people, language, and travel along the way. My goal is to connect cultures through conversation. We'll improve understanding of our world and each other. Thank you for joining us. This is episode number 58. My guest today is Karina Pearl Thorne. Karina is a language learner, online English tutor, graduate student, and creative writing enthusiast. She has lived in the Caribbean, Europe, and Asia, and now she's back in the UK. She's a member of a local poetry group, leads poetry workshops, and uses her creativity to teach English, write short stories, and is researching the language learner's creative writer identity for her master's dissertation. Welcome to the podcast, Karina.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a real pleasure to be here, to be part of the conversation. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
And I'm so happy to have you. You know, I think you're my first poet on the podcast.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. I've been wanting to talk with you about your writing and poetry projects ever since we met online in the Opted Out Facebook community. You told me that you like to combine your curiosity for foreign cultures, interest in different languages, and passion for learning and teaching in your projects. And I've seen that you're doing that. And I think we kind of have that in common, too. So I'm wondering how that all got sparked for you. Tell us a little bit about your childhood and when you first realized that there were different languages.
That's a really good question. I mean, I was born in London, England, but I did spend a couple of years in the Caribbean. And I do have this recollection of a conversation with my mother. I think it was about 4 or 5 years old. My mum actually recorded me when I was when we were over there. So that was Trinidad and Tobago, where my father's from. And she was asking me some questions, and she was asking me, you know, what did you do at school today? And I told her that we had learned Spanish. And so she asked me, well, what did you learn? And I said, well, I learned this. I learned to say, se, se, siga, siga, se, 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 siga, siga, se. That's my first memory. Only language. It was Spanish when I was about 4. Clearly, I didn't hear very well. Whatever the word was, I didn't pick up the words very well. But I knew that I was really interested in this thing. And it was a foreign language. But it wasn't until much later, back here in London, that I actually started to learn any other language. That was French, my first year in secondary school. So that's at 11 years old. At my school, and I went to a school very different from others, but in my school, we all had to learn French from the first year, and we all have to learn Latin from the second year. I was very, very lucky. I didn't know that at the time. We didn't know that at the time. We just felt that we were being, you know, a little bit oppressed. What is Latin? What is this crazy language? But we loved our teachers, or I would say I loved my teachers. And that meant by default that I loved what they were doing, which was teaching me these different kind of languages. And so, yeah, it really started at school, secondary school. And I would say it was because my teachers expressed this real love and this real passion for what they were teaching, and that it was just infectious. So I was very lucky, especially with Latin being obviously the kind of basis of so many other English and European languages. And that's really helped me. We used to have this rhyme at school about Latin, which was kind of negative. It was, Latin is a dead language, dead as dead can be. First it killed the Romans, and now it's killing me.
Definitely made up by a student.
Which was hilarious. It was hilarious. And at the beginning, we thought, you know, what is this? But as we got to know the language, the cases, and it was taught like through a story of a family, Caecilius Metella, the parents. It was like Quintus was the son. You know, like so much was going on in this story. We just kind of followed the story and we learned Latin kind of by rote, essentially, but we enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Your teachers made it fun. And I know you do that now as a teacher also.
Absolutely.
So as far as your other languages, English is your native language then, but is French your next best language or?
I would say so because I learned it from 11 to 18. So that's like the whole of secondary school. Mm-hmm. And when I went to university, I was lucky enough to continue learning French. And on top of that, I did something, again, that most people didn't do or don't do. But at university, I spent 1 year working. So in the middle of my degree, it was called a sandwich degree. And instead of it being 3 years, it was 4 years. And I was lucky enough to work in Paris. So I got not only work experience, but I got living in another country, living in another culture, and living in another language experience. And so, yeah, that pushed my kind of language ability up. I was pretty fluent then. I think that's more than 20 years ago now. So,
but you're writing poetry in French because I saw one on your YouTube channel. It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I did give that a try. I should do it more. I've learned other languages since then. I've learned some Spanish and Chinese. And so, it's about kind of making time for languages. Yeah, so overall, French is my strongest language, even though I hardly ever use it. And Spanish, I'm okay, and Chinese okay as well. And I hope to challenge myself by, writing poems or maybe even writing a short story in those languages. Let's see what I can produce.
That would be fantastic. You did write a poem in Spanish. I saw one. You
sent
me one.
Yes.
And I'd love for you to recite some of those, both of those maybe on the podcast. Did you know that March 21st is World Poetry Day?
I think I have heard about it. That's very soon, that means.
It is. And I mean, in the United States, we celebrate poetry in April. And so I wanted to have you on, you know, because it's spring and I'm thinking about poetry. But then I did a little searching around and I found out that, let's see, it says UNESCO, which is United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, decided to do this in 1999. Oh. It was adopted during their 30th session held in Paris.
Okay.
And one of the main objectives of the day is to support linguistic diversity through poetic expression and to offer endangered languages the opportunity to be heard within their communities. I also read that the observance of World Poetry Day is also meant to encourage a return to the oral tradition of poetry recitals, to promote the teaching of poetry, to restore a dialogue between poetry and the other arts, such as theater, dance, music, and painting, and to support small publishers and create an attractive image of poetry in the media so that the art of poetry will no longer be considered an outdated form of art, but one which enables society as a whole to regain and assert its identity. I think you're doing a lot of that right there. You're combining, you know, the music and even one of your poems was recorded in an art gallery, say, right?
Yeah.
And you're performing poetry, you're teaching poetry. I just think you're doing an amazing thing.
Thank you. I think it's very much of the moment. I came back from China because I lived in China for 6 years, about a few years ago. And I kind of discovered that there was this kind of creative writing movement going on here. mm-hmm. and probably in other areas of the world. And I feel that there's this momentum for the everyday person to be involved in creative expression, whether it be novels, short stories, or poetry. And I think that poetry, among all of them, are is most accessible because it's, well, first of all, much shorter.
Yeah.
Tends to be much shorter than the rest. And it can be more direct and to the point. And I think that technology has a strong influence as well, because anyone and everyone can record themselves, audio, video, or text, and share that with other people. So we're kind of, there's this renaissance, I believe, for creative writing, for poetry and spoken word. We have this old idea, poetry being traditional, being old,
right,
essentially being of the past. We're shifting it now. There's a shift. So it's become more modern. We can talk about what's going on today and now. And I think it's giving a lot of people the opportunity and the space to express themselves as they wish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's the kind of like the reason behind the popularity of it.
And the other thing that I read about this World Poetry Day, I just like to quote because it's really nice. Poetry reaffirms our common humanity by revealing to us that individuals everywhere in the world share the same questions and feelings.
Yeah, I think with the kind of political and economic background and the kind of things that are going on today, it's so important to connect, feel this association with other people.
So what do you think about reciting some of your poetry?
I'd be happy to do that. Maybe I'll start with the one in French.
Okay, and of course, not everyone will understand French. I had just a year in college, so I got the gist of it when I read it, but I had to go back and do some translation so that I could, you know, really understand it better. So maybe if you could just tell us what it's about.
So the name is J'existe, which means I exist. And it's about, I guess it's about kind of like liking someone, dreaming about meeting them, what it could be like being with them. But actually, that's not the reality.
That's perfect. That's the perfect setup, okay? And let's hear it. It's beautiful.
Thank you. J'existe. Si on allait boire un verre, parler de la météo, discuter des romans féministes à l'ombre s'il fait chaud, et si on se promenait dans un parc, timidement, main de la main, la bruine tombant sur ton visage comme si tu avais du chagrin. Et si on dînait dans un resto chic, la première fois qu'on se tutoie, une bonne bouffe, un bon feeling, tous ces souvenirs, que de la joie. Si sur mon corps tu osais glisser tes doigts délicats, quelle sensation ces frissons seraient sur ma peau, sous mes bras. Si seulement tu me regardais, cela confirmerait que j'existe. Mon cœur éclaterait. Je reste optimiste.
I love it. And listeners, if you want to hear it again, in the notes, I will put the link to Karina's YouTube channel. And she has it there with some beautiful French music behind it.
Mm.
And it's absolutely lovely. Thank you.
You've been listening to part one of my conversation with Karina Pearl Thorne. Tune in next week for another poem by Karina and more of our discussion about languages. Please visit my website, conversationswithkate.net, to sign up for my monthly updates and access to the subscriber page, where you can download 3 to 4 lesson guides each month. You will also be eligible for other subscriber benefits, like early access to my new program, Make a Note of It. For access to all of my podcast transcripts, join my Patreon community. If you like the podcast, I invite you to leave a review on iTunes. That way, more English language learners will be able to find the podcast. Thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.